This is Future Tense for September 7th, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. Does the world need a peace treaty for cyberspace? Hamadoun Touré, the Secretary General of the United Nations Technology Governing Body, thinks so. He's circulating a proposal that would require countries to prevent their infrastructure from being used in a cyber attack. Signatories would also have to pledge not to start a cyber war themselves. But what would a full-fledged conflict online look like? We called Roger Cressy to find out. He was a senior counterterrorism official at the National Security Council in the Clinton and Bush administrations. What would a full-fledged cyber war look like to me?
The worst-case scenario would be a country, be it Russia, be it China, would launch a series of cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure, our banking, our finance, our telecommunications, and our electric power and utilities. There would be impacts across a number of different sectors.
People like Cressy, who are paid to worry about this stuff, say you could end up without power or water or heat. You'd have a wallet full of credit cards that wouldn't work. Makes a peace treaty for cyberspace sound pretty good. Stuart Baker joins us now. He served as the Assistant Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security. Why hasn't this idea taken hold?
We're negotiating to a substantial degree from a posture of weakness. We have the most at risk from cyber attacks of any country, and therefore it's not clear to other countries why they would want to negotiate away that weapon. So that's one problem. And the other problem is that it's very difficult to actually enforce any kind of cyber disarmament agreement. It's very easy for people to disguise their identity and to break into computer systems without actually causing the damage right away, just establish the beachhead, and to sneak in from a direction other than your own territory so that it's hard to tell who's causing the attack. So if you can prepare a beachhead undiscovered or unattributed and actually carry out an attack unattributed, it's almost impossible to determine who's violating a treaty. And if you can't tell who's violating the treaty, you can't enforce it.
Just like in a chat room, you don't know who you're dealing with. It's the same for a country during an online attack. And Roger Cressy says it can be tough to tell the difference between cyber warfare and online espionage.
When China tries to penetrate the U.S. Defense Department's networks, is it doing it because it's going to launch an attack, or is it doing it in order to steal secrets to understand what the Pentagon is up to? That is an important issue that the U.S. government's now trying to deal with. It's what should our doctrine be? What should our policy be, both in terms of offense and dealing with other countries, but also in terms of defense? And it spans so many very difficult issues, everything from if a country is attacking you in cyberspace, do you respond in kind in cyberspace, or do you instead attack them in the physical world? Very, very important questions that we're just now starting to come up with a consensus view on. And that's one of the reasons why the United States is reluctant to go too far with an international treaty, because we're still trying to get our own house in order.
But many others believe the best way to think about online security isn't really in terms of war and peace. We might be reading the wrong Russian author. How about crime and punishment? For a different perspective on international online security, check out our website, futuretense.publicradio.org, or you can follow us online at Twitter. We're at FutureTenseAPM. Producer Julia Barton joins us now. Hey, Julia.
Hi, Steve. So Britain's Royal Mail has married two different technologies into something called an intelligence stamp, and it's rolling out this week.
What's an intelligence stamp?
Well, it uses something called a data matrix code, and you can point your smartphone at it and get good stuff.
Like what?
If you point your phone at this particular stamp using a certain program, you'll see a video of an actor reciting a poem by W.H. Auden.
This is the night mail crossing the border, bringing the check and the postal order. Letters for the rich, letters for the poor, the shop at the corner and the girl next door. Pulling.
That's Auden himself. Since we don't have the stamp here stateside, I found it the old-fashioned way by clicking.
So you're using your phone kind of like a barcode reader?
Yes, and we've seen this technology in other places. Some airlines are starting to use it, so you can use your phone to actually check in for flights.
And you can hear more of the poem at futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Future Tense.